Welcome back here with Dave and Faisal on 770 CHQR and More Than Money. You know, Faisal, it's interesting. The market's interesting. You can talk about high valuations in the equity market. You can talk about low interest rates, rising interest rates, inflation affecting fixed income markets and equity markets for that point. You know, how do you get maybe outside of the traditional asset classes, give yourself a different risk profile, a different earning opportunity, you know, in the markets? And one of the ways that you could do that is using trading strategies that are outside of the norm, looking at multi-asset classes and trading them differently, right, to create different outcomes from risk and return profiles.
When you look at an outcome that you're looking for out of your portfolio, you definitely want to have lower volatility or risk,
right,
and you want to try to maximize the return. One of the mandates that we have come across and that we've been working with is how to get a better than just a simple rate of return. We want to get more of a better return with less risk, which is a very challenging task.
Yep.
And so when you have that as your objective and you have all the asset classes like you've yep. mentioned at your disposal, you have to take a different perspective in life, right? I've said this before, if you only have one tool in your tool belt, let's call it a hammer, then everything's a nail.
You better hope.
But if you have a whole bunch of tools in your tool belt, you can do so many things, but you got to start to think, how do you use those tools?
Yep.
And what are the impacts? So let's kind of go into how do you look at different things in the world and how does that translate to what you put in your portfolio?
And position. Okay, so who's going to help us do that? Michael Sager, who's the Vice President, Multi-Asset and Currency at CIBC Asset Management. Michael, welcome back to the show. We appreciate you taking some time to join us today.
Hello, guys. Glad to be here.
So I think we'll start maybe at a high level, and we're going to talk about maybe a second quarter review. I'd like to get, Michael, your opinion on how you felt the second quarter was shaping up going into the second quarter, how it played out, and then we can talk a little bit after that about how you positioned and so on and so forth.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think that at the beginning of the second quarter, our top-down worldview was that we were pretty close to peak growth in this economic cycle. We'd had a lot of stimulus put into the system by central banks, by governments over the previous 12 months, and that had really stimulated economic growth. But we were pretty close to that peak. In the US, we expected it to growth to peak out in Q2. China had already probably peaked. Europe, still to come a little bit later, but nonetheless the global growth rate was around about its high point, and then we would start transitioning to something a little bit slower. It will be a relatively benign transition, nothing too malignant about it, but nonetheless slower growth was ahead. So that was one of the thoughts. The other one was that we were prepared for a at least temporary pickup in inflation, and we needed to adjust positioning to reflect that expectation. So a peaking in growth and a little bit more inflation, at least in the short term, was where we started. And I think both of those came to fruition. I think certainly inflation in the US has peaked out so far at about 5.5% year on year. That's a lot higher than we'd seen for the previous several years. Growth is on course, nothing too surprising there. But we did have some surprises and we've had to react to those and happy to talk about them. One was a little bit of an inflection in the US Federal Reserve to a slightly more hawkish policy than we expected. And then I think the Delta COVID variant has occupied minds in the market more than was expected. And so we can certainly talk about that on a forward-looking basis too. So I think that's what we were expecting and a little bit of what we saw. Performance was, for the quarter as a whole, in our Mars fund was good. We were positive in April and May, and we had a little bit of a setback in June, but net positive. So it was a pretty good quarter.
Michael, before bringing you on the show, Dave and I were talking about the multiple tools in your tool belt that an individual could have when building a portfolio. Now, with this multi-asset portfolio that you have, with all the tools that you can use, how did you determine what tools to use given that outlook of a peaking economy from a growth rate perspective, increasing inflation? All these different issues are coming at you. Tell me a bit more how you decided to pick what tools to use from the tool belt.
Well, I think your emphasis on toolkit's really important. So it's the first order of business, I think, is to identify what risks you're facing and what asset classes can help you profit from those risks. So equities do very well in a strong growth environment. They do less well when inflation's picking up. So we need to keep with your analogy, we need another tool. Commodities do relatively well when inflation is picking up. But it's not necessarily the case that you always want exposure in the portfolio to commodities. So it's really identifying the underlying cash flows for each asset class and when those cash flows are going to be strong and weak. So that's the starting point. And then it's also think about valuations and the push and pull between long-term value and the relatively more short-term cyclical pressures out there. So which one's going to dominate? Is it value we should focus on? Is it the cycle? For equities, to give you an example, valuations look increasingly stretched, but the strength of the cycle means that equities will probably be fine over the next 12 months. So it's understanding the strength of that push and pull, understanding what's driving the underlying asset classes, and really thinking about also, you know, which regions of the world are going to do best at the, you know, in the immediate wake of the pandemic. It was Asia. Asia was first in and first out. They really benefited in an economic sense from that ordering of recovery. More recently, it's been the US. So understand geographic risks, value versus cycle risks, and then underlying cash flows. What drives an asset class and how relevant is that to the risk we're facing? So those are some of the key decisions we need to take.
Michael, just to maybe expand on that a little bit, because there's all kinds of asset classes you can participate in, understanding those various risks. But there's also, you can also overlay different trading strategies to help either profit or protect, depending on what your belief is in the direction of whatever asset class that you're focused on. And maybe in simple terms that, you know, English terms that we can all understand, maybe talk a little bit about some of the strategies that you could deploy in order to offset risks or take advantage of opportunities in rising and or falling markets.
Yeah, and that's the key to a strategy like Mars, that it's meant to, wherever possible, profit regardless of the market or the economic environment. Whereas a traditional equity-centric portfolio, benchmark relative portfolio, will be a little bit hostage to fortune in terms of market and economy. So that's the first point. We're trying to profit regardless of market environment. So let's think about what we were confronted with. Well, although valuations were looking stretched, as I said, the cyclical outlook for growth looked good. So we want to be exposed to the most attractive equity markets. That includes Asian markets. It includes European markets. We were preparing for a pickup in inflation. What are the best asset classes to profit from stronger inflation? Well, as I mentioned, they're typically in commodities, crude oil, gold. So we had long positions in crude oil. We had a long position in gold. to protect or to benefit, whichever way you want to think about it, from an inflation risk. Let's go back to equities. Not all equities are going to do well in an environment of strong growth but rising inflation. Value stocks will do better than more growthy stocks. So banking sector stocks will do particularly well when inflation's rising, which means interest rates will tend to rise a little bit. So we want to be exposed to banks as an example in equities, not just all equities. So it's very much identify the asset classes that are going to work best and then take a position. I've talked about long positions, but in the Mars Fund, one of the other levers we have to pull is we can be long or short. So,
Michael,
yeah,
can I jump in right there, because we have to take a quick break, and I think this would be a good spot to break here. But after the break, we'll come back. We'll talk about what a short position is and how that can be beneficial in the strategy as well. So stick around. Join us after the break. You're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.